case where police entered the residence of a white male, 50 years old, back in August 2010. He alleged both physical abuse and abuse of authority. This concerned the service of a warrant for his arrest at his home. This investigation resulted in sustained findings against a detective, a sergeant, and an officer in that area. The sergeant was found to have violated Directive 77, which concerns wanted persons, and the police officer in this particular incident is accused of violating Directive 22, which concerns the use of force. This particular case involves departmental violations by the detectives. That is, the other issues that I just mentioned have already been settled. The only thing before the Police Board of Inquiry is the issues involving that detective. And we will be attending that hearing, as this is one of the cases that came through the Police Advisory Commission initially. We've completed work on our annual report for 2013, and we're going to circulate a draft of that to our commissioners in advance of the April meeting. We just entered into, or we will be entering into, a new legal services contract for 1 year with our new counsel, Bowman & Partners, LLC, at the end of this month. I should note that this is actually our first change in counsel since the commission was formed way back in 1994. And I'm going to ask the board in this instance to draft a letter thanking Montgomery, McCracken, Walker, and Rhodes for their excellent years of dedication and service to the commission. I should also point out that the commission has defeated several, I should say all, legal challenges to our existence, our subpoena power, our ability to question officers in internal affairs, and also at our commission hearings. And that's with the able help of Montgomery, McCracken, Walker, and Rhodes. I'd like to thank them very much myself. Our April community meeting is going to be in the 19th district. We've had a couple of incidents there that have come to our attention with our co-host, Men United for a Better Philadelphia. We're also working on a brief for board members that will present at the April meeting that discusses police certification and misconduct in Pennsylvania. The police certification process is used in other parts of the country to deal with misconduct issues, not so much here in Philadelphia. We're going to talk about some potential changes that we might enter into there, or suggestions that we can do to leverage the certification system for officers in dealing with misconduct issues. I've also been having some pretty fruitful discussions with our partner from across the state, the Pittsburgh Police Complaint Review Board. We're discussing some collaborations with them around police arbitration and the certification issues I just mentioned. I also have here some information on our budget problems and staffing issues we've had pretty much since the commission was formed in 94, to be honest. I'm waiting for the details of the commission's budget appropriation from the managing director's office. Now, for now, it looks like they're really not changed from 2013. Our total budget will be just a little bit above $282,000. Now, just to give you some comparison, when we were first formed in 1994, our budget was actually $389,000. That's almost 30% less than it is now. So we're actually working with one less staff member and about 30% less budget, which is clearly a problem in terms of trying to do our job. So we'll be talking to the MDO and hopefully the public about that at the upcoming budget hearing. All of my predecessors as executive director have always submitted a supplemental appropriation request for budget and staff, but from what I can see so far, and what's troubling me right now, is that we weren't even asked to present a formal budget proposal for the last couple of years. We actually are just simply given an amount and told this is what you receive. So that's something I think we may need to try and address in some fashion. I'm still trying to get the MDO to hire the two people we've been trying to hire for the last year and a half or so. And again, we're going to address that with the managing director's office and city council during the budget process.
Excuse me, Kelvin, do we even have a timeline for those positions now?
No, the, what has to happen is there's something called a personnel exemption request. The city still is under a hiring freeze that was instituted in 2008 under Mayor Nutter. In order to actually hire someone, you have to put through the finance and the budget office what's called a position exemption request. I prepared those and sent those out. We've not heard anything from them. Going to be resubmitting those as part of the budget process and trying to get that off the dime and moving forward.
For the benefit of our commissioners, first of all,
we went from 6 to 5 staff members as of 2008, and we have not been able to fill that position since then. So this is a long-standing issue.
But if the budget, the allocation for this year is the same as last year, that number envisioned certainly a replacement for the admin person and the one down reserve from the 3 years.
Yes. That's correct. We do believe that we can fill that position. I'm going to act like we can.
Yes. So the money's in the budget and Kelvin's going to seize the moment. Is that the plan?
Exactly.
To the extent you can.
Yes. Now, we were going to submit a bid to try and bring the NACOL conference. That's the National Police Oversight Agency that we group that we belong to. We're trying to bring that to Philadelphia. Quite frankly, we just simply have too many pressing issues and other outstanding reports and stuff that needs to get finished up over the next month or two. So we've kind of dropped our chance to do that for now. However, we're still being pressured heavily by the folks on the national board to try and bring that conference here. I did have some conversations with Councilman Curtis Jones about that, and we may in fact be able to do it in 2016. So I'll be back at you with that probably later this year. In terms of meetings, as I just mentioned, I met with Councilman Curtis Jones and his legal affairs director a couple weeks ago. We discussed commission appointments. He promised me that he would get to that process as soon as the budget is done over the next couple of months. If, as history points out, normally this takes place in May, so I suspect that probably by May or so we're going to have additional council hearings to appoint more folks to the commission, hopefully. We still have at least another two that the mayor is working on, but I still have not gotten firm commitments on who they are and their information, but hopefully soon. As I said, I met with Councilman Jones. We talked a lot about his pending legislation to make the commission permanent under the city charter. He still believes that that is something that's very much needed. And at this point, his plan is to try and bring that to city council, possibly in early 2016 for the next mayor's election. Let's see. Oh, he's also, we talked to him about some of the studying that we've done of the police arbitration system and the need to hold city council hearings on that. He supported that issue as well. Again, we're going to be trying to join with our sister agency in Pittsburgh to possibly hold hearings that deal with arbitration around the state. As you know, arbitration is a state law, Act 111. Any changes to that would have to incorporate not just Philadelphia, but any police department that has workers who are subject to Act 111. Thus, we really need to talk to Pittsburgh and other cities around the state to really have an effect on arbitration. This past month, I was interviewed by the Philadelphia Daily News regarding the arrest of Officer Cochran. And I'm also going to be interviewed later this week on WURD-AM on the Nick Taliaferro Show. And that is my report for this month.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. So then let's move on with our reports of committee.
Yes, I still need to get some bio information and the chair's report. Okay. Excellent.
Anything else on the reports?
We'll need a summary of the recommendations and the Nisa Morris opinion from last year.
Injustice. There is a way of meeting and Thank you.
Yeah, we'll make sure that they get that information, absolutely. And I would say to the young man who just spoke to, if you believe an officer actually planted something on you, that's something I want to hear about now, not 2 years from now, definitely. And I understand that people are afraid, but you call me tomorrow, first thing, if that's something like that happens, or if it happens to any of you or people you know. Us, internal affairs, both of us, we need to know about that as soon as possible so we can try to get to the bottom.
Hello, my name is Zaire Murray. 2 years ago, I was on 24th in high school, and then North Philly, and I actually went to Robert Cox High School. And it was on a school night, and it was around 9 o'clock or whatever. There was a shooting around my leg, and the cops came up or whatever, they started shooting at the guy that did the shooting or whatever. They started shooting at him. But they were shooting, they were shooting everywhere. And the bullets, they was coming down my block. And there was a lot of people out there, there was kids out there, my little cousins, nephews, and nieces out there. And they started shooting or whatever. So they ran to the crib. Everybody they ran to was a suicide. Everybody went across the street. All the bullets were coming on the side we was on. We had to run across the street. And my cousin almost got shot, but I wish I was afraid. And my man, he got a grizzly or whatever. But the cop shot my friend or whatever, and he had his hands up. And they planted the gun and said that he was trying to shoot first, but they shot him in the stomach. And they locked him up, and he in the hospital.
Where was that? Did you get that?
It's in
the 24th in Oxford. Can you see me afterwards and give me the date? Because a shooting incident like that is heavily investigated with tons of reports and things like that. We can look into it and figure out exactly what happened.
Thank you.
May I share?
Please.
The mic.
Step up.
Use the mic.
Trying to figure out what's going on. Because we got further up the street.
So that after he searched me, kind of searched me again, kind of embarrassed about it, pulling out my pants in the middle of the street. At that point, I was happy when I was outside, but that was very embarrassing to have, especially when I didn't do anything wrong. So at that point, you know, I had a very bad connotation with police officers. I see a police officer like in the rear view or something, I get nervous because I'm thinking, you know, something bad is about to happen. And that's not the only time. Another incident that happened to me, it was actually up here in Mount Airy. I was just coming home from work, picking up my daughter from daycare, driving home, I lived in South Philly at the time. I was coming from Mount Airy to get home. Once again, you know, some officers pulled me over and said, I put the description, it was just an armed robbery. The bank said, I put the description. But they had guns out. Guns out was wrong. I had my daughter in the back seat. I mean, get out of the car and handcuff me on my daughter. During the time I was when she was old, but she knew what was going on, so she screamed. And I'm highly upset with this situation because not only are they pulling me out of the car, they're pulling guns in my face and handcuffing me in front of my daughter, so I'm going to go to bed. So I mean, I sat there outside for maybe about 5 to 10 minutes until, you know, they got a call to verify that it wasn't me. But like, a situation like that just makes you, you know, I don't really trust cops, right? So, you know, this is the way you see the cops, right? So, like I said, I can understand why the numbers are not able to work for me.
Thank you.
By one of them, Marquis. I had a couple stories. 10 cop cars and four of them all, yeah, going out this road, and she's kind of like, and mine just come grabbing like this, like, why are you grabbing like that? 10 of y'all just want to call me, let me get a little bit of 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 a store right there, but the store had a bunch of money out here, came out, moved my name, and this thing, other than this thing. But he's like, well, he grabbed me, going in the car, like, man, yo, fuck, no, man, I need to go smart for you.
If I didn't do it, well, you were out there.
And they said, I'm cracking guns. I said, I didn't name that. And I'm dating that. So I'm still, I talked to Ms. Sarah Allen. She gave me a phone number to call her. That's the public official.
We all understand. This is my house. I open the door, they ask me about the incident, I tell them. I offer the information based on the work that I do, working with these young men, working in the community, and also working beside others. So I openly tell them what took place. Officers then tell me, walk back out of the building, talk to the young man, say, is this the person? Yes. Come back in the building, handcuff me, and put me in the police car. Now, working to the districts, you know, I'm well known. I tell you what occurred. The emergency squad comes, checks the personnel. No bruises, no take to the hospital. I'm in handcuffs sitting in the back of the police van. Now they ask me, what is my physical condition? Do I have it? Say I'm diabetic. Okay, I'm only thinking that I'm going to at least some type of mediation to discuss what took place at a police district or whatever. Instead, I end up at the roundhouse. I don't know what took place with this young man. All I know is that I was told again that this person stated that I pushed him down the step. The next thing I know, I'm being accused of aggravated assault. I'm being charged with aggravated assault. What was aggravated? What was whatever? You understand what I'm saying? Never was there a mediation they could have took place between me, the person, and the officer. Neither was we taken to a police district where a mediation could have been took place. Now, after the mediation, if we came out there, I actually did something that warranted my arrest. I'm the first one that a lot of people think I'm crazy, but I'm the first one to say, hey, I did it. You know, and because I know what I got, I know what the system is like, I know how to live, and I got people that I know that will support me. Because I'm a front person. But what I don't understand is how come certain procedures are not put in place by police that are in our community. It's strike first, harm first, lock first, you know what I mean, without any investigation. You're then accused of, arrested, before any information comes out. I thought it was find out first, then arrest, and now procedures come out. I've seen this happen now in many years I've been doing the work that I do. But I watch our youth, I hear stories of our youth, they talk about it all the time. A lot of times we come to a blind eye thinking that half the stuff we keep it real, half the stuff they talk about is lie. It ain't happening to you. This ain't what's going on. This is not what happened. I'm a 50-plus-year-old man who knows the difference about what to do and what not to do. But if I, with all the work that I do, in assisting the police in doing a lot of work, working with Mr. Kelvin and other organizations about making the streets safe, trying to make sure that they have an understanding of what they need to do, giving them better options. In the end, if I have no options, and I'm trying to get them out there, I have no options, then who do we get the options from? Who do we hold accountable for at least taking an extra step before always accusing and removing options from an individual who's trying to do some things or trying to live their life correctly? A lot of our youth, yeah, they turn left. Anybody in here that's old that have turned left one time or another? Have a symptom of an accident? I mean, let's keep it real. Like, some of us may have gotten by, some of us haven't. But the bottom line is, it's about our future. And if we're not doing anything to help assist our future, then we have no life at all. And if people like me, like you, can be assaulted, addressed, misused, and abused in any of the course of the matter, and nobody holds them accountable, then what is we here?
But
just from that, that's 3 weeks ago. And we are looking for positive people. We're not looking for any fall right, any current fall right. We're not that.
Next meeting is going to be in the 19th Police District at a location yet to be determined. If you give me a call at the office, I'll tell you when that is. And I just want to leave everyone with this thought. If something happens to you that you have an issue with, you can call and talk to us about it. Even if it's not something that rises to the level of a formal complaint, if it's an issue you have with a policeman that's short of that, or it's a positive thing or whatever it is, we need to hear what's going on in the street. As I said, we've only got 3 people in our office. Frankly, Internal Affairs only has about 100 some investigators. There are hundreds of arrests, thousands of contacts between our police and citizens every day. Thankfully, most of them are positive. Sometimes they're not, but we want to hear about them. So again, I encourage you to get in touch with us and let us know what's going on out there.
Do we have any printed material with our phone number on?
Yes. I've got plenty of cards here to get contact.
Please get a card from Tom, particularly the 2 young gentlemen that had the story about the shooting and the planting of evidence. You know, please be in touch with them. And good luck to all of you. Feel free to come back to another meeting. Go to this gentleman's event at the Rotunda. Have a safe spring. Good night.
Sure. people flying to marijuana. I think it's a great thing to make to go to Georgia. I had one young man who came over. So,
Semi-retired anyway.
I got you.
I'll give you my cell number. It's 267
243
0028. I'll give you my home number too, because just in case.
Alright, yes sir.
It's 215
487
06 69.
But then we're lucky to get
them.
And I have, well, I have an answering machine in there.
Yep.
Too, so.
Sure.
Sometimes I don't pick that up because, well, I have one of those announcers. Calling.
Sure.
I get so many calls. I don't like zip. I mean, area codes. I don't recognize. So sometimes I'll hesitate picking up until, you know. Well, if you call, like, if you use a 686 number or a local area code, I'm answering.
Sure.
But sometimes I don't recognize the area code. Don't answer it. And then if somebody leaves a message, then I know it's from them.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. I mean,
crazy. I know.
These businesses.
I get them on myself. Even though I opted out.
It would drive me crazy. I haven't got myself yet. I'm waiting for that. The home phone. And even the cell, I guess, would bother me more because even if you don't pick it up, you got to take it off your head. Look at it. You know. Don't interrupt your day. So what's the guy you've done?
Oh, guys.
Who knows? I'll find out.
Purposefully?
I don't know. Nah, probably not.
Isn't that
the point.
Anyway?
That's the point.
Okay.
We'll talk to the sergeant lieutenant about that. Because we did approach that. Oh, whenever the protocol is, whenever I come to a district, I go to the captain's office first. I had Joe, in fact, go to one of their PSA meetings just to get a feel for what's going around. So,
we'll see. Well, they could ask.
Yeah.
Find out.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe
not.
Thanks, Cheryl.
I'll be in touch with you. Hey, I just.
Excellent. See, I told you it wasn't bad.
No, not bad at all. And I have some ideas and thoughts and questions.
Excellent. Please do. Any ideas, thoughts, questions, please run them by me.
I will.
Because we're looking at different ways to approach the issue.
Great.
That's something that's very important.
Do we have a budget to get the name? What do we have to
get? You know what I didn't mention? We're out of money for the year, but I'll get you. I'll get that.
We'll just do it. It's only like $5.
Sure.
We have the base.
I will buy Nate.
We need the base.
With our usual city lack of budget. Yeah, they just told me we're out of money already.
It's not like where do we spend money? Where did we spend money?
Well, with a budget of $6,000 a year for incidentals, that's not very much.
That's paper.
Mm-hmm. Between the cost of our copier and office stuff, that's probably about half of that. But they're going to give us more money. Ernest Jones promised.
Okay.
I was squeezing.
Don't put it in the bank yet.
No, I know. I know.
Hopefully it comes through.
Anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank
good
you.
To meet you guys. Good to meet you, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice to come out of there. Have the attendance that clears the problems. You know, it's sort of a St. Patrick's type of we avoided the shambles. It's not coming.
Thanks for
your time. I'm educated.
Yeah, same thing.
Where's that bay out? Oh, okay. Because we once did something really out in the
city.
Thank you.
Can we post it for the last hour?
Yeah, this is the problem. Okay, so I can do this part. Okay.
Oh, I did record it. I did record.